go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Ben, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
So let's say you're restoring a classic.
Classic car.
Classic car, of course.
Yeah.
And you got the option at this point. You know, you just started. You pulled it in your garage. You got the option. Should you keep everything original or should you update everything?
Ooh, that's a good question, Scott.
Original or modern?
Original or modern. Ooh, that's a tough question. I might lose some friends if I answer this.
I'll tell you what. Let's wait until the end. You can decide after we get to the very end of this. But anyways, first, welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
Yes, you're Scott. I'm Ben Bolin. And today we are covering one of the most divisive debates in the restoration world.
Extremely polarizing topic today on resto modding. And that's the coin or the term that's been coined for taking an old classic vehicle and basically making it a new vehicle underneath the skin.
Yeah, so here's the primary difference. Let's say you have a beautiful 1950s car, right?
Sure.
And you have within your means the ability to restore it to its original condition. Now we're talking original parts, original system.
Got it.
Or you have the ability to take advantage of the numerous mechanical innovations that have occurred between 1950 and 2012 and replace some stuff. Like maybe you want to have a different transmission system. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to have an overdrive transmission. Maybe you want to upgrade your drive shaft. There are some things you can do.
Sure. I mean, it goes way beyond that, Ben. You can do engines. You mentioned transmissions already. Mm. You can do exhaust systems. Brakes are a huge one.
Oh, yeah.
Brakes have been upgraded every year. Suspension parts. There's, lighter wheels, better tires, safety glass. I mean, that's a big one right there. Safety glass.
Yeah.
So, the idea here is that, and this is going to, it angers anybody that's a purist. Anybody that is,
mm-hmm.
All about, this car's got to be original right down to the last nut and bolt.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
Exactly. I'm putting the original type of belt that they made for this vehicle on the car and the original tires, no matter what they cost, I'm going to go get them.
Right.
Even if they're skinny and tall and prone to blowouts.
Yeah. And now, Scott.
I don't want to dis. I don't want to. Yeah.
Don't think you got out of this because I'm going to ask you the same question at the end of the show, too.
Okay.
So I think that we're doing an okay job setting up the difference. Now, the purist, I am going to say, in defense of the purist side of the debate, thank God that there are purists around, because otherwise we wouldn't have any of these cars to begin with.
Yeah, we'd have no true original classics. And when we go to we talk about the Concours.
Mm-hmm.
Concours is taking a car back to original showroom condition, or even slightly better, really.
Yeah.
But original showroom condition, that's nothing aftermarket, that's nothing additional. You're not upgrading anything that wasn't supposed to be there originally.
Oh, and we're talking about the Concours d'Elegance.
Yeah.
Check out our podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got a series on that, or rather a podcast. But, and you know what? There's also a point, too, here, and I need to say this, I think, early on, that, let's say that you are going to do that restoration, and there's a car that you've got, it's completely original when you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of good parts, and it's close to being, it's like, it's one way or the other.
Yeah.
Let's say you got another one that's really kind of ratted out. The motor's falling apart, the brakes, everything is just rusty, and the interior's shredded up, and, the window's broken.
The trunk's a rat nest.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a point. You can decide to take that all back to original.
Mm-hmm.
See, a car like that, you may want to do some resto modding on because it's far away from its original condition.
Right. Yeah.
Something that's really close to original condition, it may be easier to take it back to original than it would be to upgrade the engine, say, or to completely put on a new set of brakes, like a new brake system complete.
Yeah.
So I think that there's, there are places where, people find, like, I'm going to stepping off places where they can say, like, I'd rather do it this way because I'm so close to it here.
Yeah. And let's be realist about this, too. A lot of this could depend on budget. I love the example of a barn find that's already pretty close to utter destruction, right?
Were you going
to
say a bar fight?
I was going to say a bar fight.
You love a bar fight?
I love a good bar fight.
I know you were, yeah.
Mainly because, well, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I retired undefeated.
Shady past.
Shady checkered past. Mm-hmm. But yes, barn finds, not bar fights. Mm-hmm. It really does depend on the condition of the vehicle, the aims of the owner, and the money involved. Because if you find like a, well, just for the all shucks of it, if you find an MG, that's an excellent car, but it's in really rough condition. Mm. You may be at some point, you may be in a tough spot if you want to do all original restoration. The cost would be tremendous. And no matter how much money you pay, in some cases with older cars, they're just not parts available.
Yeah, you and I know about rusty MGs.
Yeah.
Yeah, take a look at our Facebook page. You'll see some photos of a car that would maybe be better off resto-modded at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll see what we're dealing with. Anyways, I think we've done a good job in saying that, you know, there's a place for original, there's a place for resto-modding. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this, at one time, I think resto-mods were really, really frowned upon. I think that people looked down at people that took, you know, that put a new crate engine into, or a newer engine, because they didn't really have crate engines, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
But they would take like a newer engine and put it in an older vehicle. And I think people thought, you know, a little bit less of that person for doing something like that instead of keeping it original. But now I think that it's gaining popularity. I think it's getting a foothold in the, you know, the hot rodding community that, you know, people are saying like, well, why not resto-mod, you know, that vehicle? That's definitely the way to go. It's just getting a lot of credibility at this point.
It's a natural fit, too.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at this, I mean, here's the reasons that they give for resto-modding, or making a resto-mod, is basically, you know, primarily for performance or for safety.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally, it's also done for drivability or for comfort, you know, for rider comfort.
Right.
But, you know, what's not to like about a car that's, you know, a little bit safer, a little more reliable, maybe even faster, can stop better?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got a list here, a short list, but, I mean, you know, why not put a bigger engine in a car that is, you know, like a little heavy or slow? Or why not, you know, put better brakes on a car that's extremely heavy, or that you've just, you know, let's say you put that engine in and it's a far faster vehicle and it's heavier up front.
Yeah.
You probably want bigger brakes.
Yeah.
Why not put on disc brakes? You know, because there's some fantastic disc brake systems you can buy for cars that, you know, originally were equipped with drum brakes.
Yeah.
You know, or a cooling system for a car that always is prone to overheating. You know, that no matter when you get in stop traffic, it's going to overheat. Why not get a 2012 or 13 cooling system put in that car? Why not do it?
And here's the part where some people who are more on the purist side might say it's a slippery slope there because let's say you make those modifications. Mm-hmm. Those sound like they're roughly divided into performance and safety mods, right? So we've got a bigger engine, but it's just like that children's book, if you give a mouse a cookie. Mm-hmm. You know that one?
Yeah.
So that it starts with the bigger engine, which leads to needing more brakes, which already has kind of broken the seal on our modification stuff here, right?
Yep.
And so the next thing is, well, you know, I did some necessary stuff. I sure would like Sirius radio or something, you know?
Okay, I see
so,
what you're
so,
saying.
But I...
You know, it's funny.
I see you both sides of it.
You go to a hot rod show, you may see a hot rod with a nav system in it or something like that. You know, I mean, it's not unusual to see that, you know, that you'll find like a modern radio that's maybe hidden in the glove box with the original in its original place.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of different levels to this. And some people, now I mentioned safety is another one.
Right.
And drivability.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these classic cars, a lot of them were really good at going straight and fast. A lot of them weren't very good at steering or turning. And, you know, taking any kind of corner. So, you know, you put a new modern suspension under the car.
Sure.
You put a better steering system into the car. And, you know, suddenly you can make that turn, you know, going a little bit faster than you could have if you had the original equipment.
Definitely.
And that's a safety issue. But what about this? What about seatbelts? A lot of cars, you know, were built without seatbelts or only had lap belts.
Yes.
You know, they don't have airbags. I guess that could be an upgrade. I don't think that's really a typical upgrade. But let's say they put in seatbelts.
Right.
And, you know, just for safety. And you want to take your family out to get ice cream in the thing on Saturday morning or whatever, Sunday afternoon. That, to me, seems like a perfectly reasonable upgrade to a vehicle if you're going to drive it on, you know, local streets, wherever. Mm-hmm. I mean, out in the country, on the highway, whatever. Why not put three-point seatbelts in?
Now, I think that's a good point. I'm going to go a step further with this one, Scott, and I'm going to say that, of course, now you and I always go out of our way to say that if it's somebody's car that they own and if it's their money, then they should do what they will as long as they're not, you know, hurting people or just drop kicking puppies.
Yeah, why not?
But one of the points that comes out of this is that, of course, if it's your car and you want it to be original, then by all means do so. However, if it's your daily driver, you should start thinking about this. I think that I think there's a world of difference between owning a car that you take out once every 4 to 6 months for a car show and then owning a car that you drive every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the statistically, the odds of needing that safety equipment, which is the nicest way I'm going to say it, increase.
Or even a daily driver.
Yeah,
a lot of people will use these for daily drivers sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ben, that comes right down to, I mean, if you want to think about like the electrical systems in some cars.
Yeah, good point.
You know, you go from a points ignition system to an electronic ignition or something like that. You know, something a little more reliable, a little more, you know, you're sure it's going to start when you turn the key after work. that's a better idea. That's a good idea, I think. Safety glass, that's another one. You know, some cars didn't have, I mean, if you go way, way back, some cars didn't have safety glass in them. And to me, that seems absurd to drive on highways now with the speeds, you know, we're talking about,
right, yeah,
without safety glass. So actually at any speed, it just seems like a good move.
Oh, come on, Scott, YOLO.
and the whole disc brake thing, you know. Oh, one other thing, you know, we mentioned, I've got two things here I want to mention.
Yeah.
The availability of crate motors now. I went to a show in, I was just in, where was it, Pine Mountain, Georgia, I think is the name of it. It was down at the Callaway Gardens area.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I should have snapped a photo of this when I was there, but I didn't. I saw it was a mid-50s Chevy, I want to say like a 55, 56 Chevy, had a brand new 5.7-liter Hemi engine from Chrysler in it.
What?
Yeah. And, you know, it looked good in there. It looked perfectly at home. It was very open, you know, engine bay. It was a white vehicle, had this... It looked very small inside, you know, inside that engine bay.
Did you talk to the owner?
I did not, because I was quickly going. It was about 125 degrees in this tent that they were in.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just trying to get out. We were just making one quick pass one area, and I was trying to get out of there. And, again, I wish I had talked to the guy, or I wish I had snapped a photo even. But he had the hood up, and you could see this you know, this new engine in there, obviously new, or at least within a couple of years new.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine that, you know, aside from that engine, he's got a lot of other new parts underneath that vehicle. So, you know, again, it looked, if he had shut the hood, I would never know that wasn't an original 1955 Chevy that had everything original underneath the skin. But, you know, just because he had the hood open, I was able to spot that. I mean, anybody could spot that. That was easy.
Yeah. Now, We both spent some time looking at some beautiful resto mods on the internet. Now, you can find some of these yourself if you want to look around. Or if you're on the fence, let's say you own a sweet Camaro and you're thinking, what should I do with this? Should I stay faithful to the original time and place in which it was built? Or should I pull a Bionic Man, rebuild it a little faster and stronger? And I'll tell you, honestly, just looking at these photographs, some of which I'm showing you, Scott, just looking at these photographs as I was doing this research, I got sold on resto mods, man. If I owned something, now, if I owned a museum piece like a Model A or whatever, I'm not going to try to resto mod that. I mean, that's so old anyway that the technology doesn't really.
That's in the antique. That's antique era.
Yeah, that like to quote Indiana Jones, it belongs in a museum.
Yeah,
and but these others from, you know, 60s, I would even say 50s, 50s, 60s.
Sure. The one I saw was
yeah. If you want to resto mod them, then I would say the key to it is to work with some professionals who know what they're doing. There are some great resto mod studios.
Exactly.
And garages around the United States.
And you know what? Manufacturers are supporting this now by offering the crate motors that I mentioned before.
Yep.
You know, and you could buy crate motors from, you know, all three of the big three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that you can buy motors from other manufacturers as well. But, you know, the ones that will pop up on any Google search for something like this, you know, you can find, you know, Chevy crate motors, you can find Chrysler crate motors, even Ford crate motors. Ford is more of the like racing type crate motors.
Right.
But if you go for like a Chevrolet or a Chrysler even, you're talking like, and they can be expensive. Don't get me wrong. Cause you're probably going to be dropping this into something that's, you know, a project car, like we talked about, a toy.
Yeah.
And, these are like the 550, 600 horsepower cars that, you know, are a lot of chrome and supercharged, mm-hmm. and, you know, whatnot. But, they use original, what they'll call seasoned blocks, which are, you know, used blocks,
right.
Remanufactured. You can get them in any, you know, you can get short block assemblies, you can get long block assemblies, you can get, you know, the complete turnkey operations, whatever you want. And, you know, these go kind of expensive. Some of them can be, you know, up to $20,000. They go all the way down to, you know, like $2,500. Depends on what you're looking for, you know, and the manufacturer. One thing that I did find that was cool, there's a shop that's building motors for cars like these. They ship only motors.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind you want. You just tell them what you want. They send it to you. Again, crate motors. And you can watch them. They'll document the process that they, you know, as they build it for you. They tell you what they give you in different packs, you know, short block, long block, or turnkey system. And, you know, you can even decide what color you want the block to be painted. You can decide what color wires they use on it for the ignition system. Just about everything. And one of the coolest things I thought was that they photo document the whole process for you. This particular shop.
Oh, does. Yeah, I saw these folks.
And, they test it. They test mm-hmm. it on video. They give you a DVD of the testing with your engine, your specific engine running. And a dyno sheet, you know, of exactly the horsepower and the torque mm-hmm. and all that, you know, everything that they need to be able to give you. Along with the purchase of the engine. And you're talking about like maybe $12,000 or something like that for a full system. So it's expensive. But I don't know. I think somebody that's, you know, really, really into this and wants to get that done, I think that this type of service is something that they're looking for.
Yeah, and I can't I can't say enough good stuff about Restomod companies, because the ones that I've been finding
mm-hmm. –
The ones that I really looked into seem to have the same conscientious approach, you mm-hmm. know, to the point where you are continually updated on every single thing that's happening in your mm-hmm. vehicle. And I think that is I think that's wonderful.
That's nice, yeah. Or you could do it yourself.
Discount yourself. Yep.
Don't count the DIY stuff, because I think a lot of this is possible. You take out the old, put in the new.
Yep.
You know who else likes this, Ben?
Who?
Are you this is maybe a good wrap-up type, I think.
Okay.
So you have much more to say about this?
No.
You're pretty much sold on it.
I'm ready for our question, our answer question.
Well, I got someone else who is sold on this.
Who?
Jay Leno.
No kidding. Yeah. Are you serious?
You know what? You would think that Jay Leno would be more of a, I want to keep it original,
yeah.
a purist. And I think in some cases, you know, he's got a lot of original vehicles.
Like
a
steam engine car.
There's something I want to mention here later.
Okay.
But he does have steam engine cars. He has all types of vehicles.
You know,
I mean, wild to mild, you know, everything in between. And the crazy thing is, and I thought he would be more like a museum collector, you know, everything has to be original.
Sure.
Not the case. There's an article here in Popular Mechanics from him that says he's a firm believer in resto modding. That's the title of the article.
Does it depend on the car?
He's a firm believer.
Does he qualify?
You know, I think he does. I think he's saying here, he gives a story about, you know, racing in Coldwater Canyon, you know, and
uh-huh.
something that happened there. So this is a good article. It's, again, Popular Mechanics. It's called Jay Leno, a firm believer in resto modding. I think if you take a look at this, you'll mm-hmm. understand kind of what we're getting at here. This is the boiled down version of that. You know, why it's probably a good thing. Basically, it says this. He says classics are great. Okay, I'm going to just summarize this.
Summarize.
Really. But you know, they're fast, but they can't corner.
Mm-hmm.
They have skinny tires. They have sloppy steering. They don't steer. You know, they don't stop well. They have very few safety features. You know, the original ones do.
Yeah, definitely.
If any. They're prone to electrical failures and fires and things like that. You know, and it happens. I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
With my own two eyes, I've seen, you know, electrical fires happen in everything from a Ferrari down to, you know,
yeah.
an old MG. All that sounds bad, but the good news is that it can be fixed, and why not do that? You know, the list that I mentioned before,
mm-hmm.
you know, if a car is hot, why not put in a better cooling system? If it doesn't stop, put in better brakes. Well, he's saying exactly the same thing in this article. He's got example here of, like, I think he's talking about his Ford Galaxy that, you know, it's got, you know, it's basically a new car under the skin. Mm-hmm. And he kept the original parts so he can take it back to original if he ever wants to, because if you do it the right way, you can just swap those parts back and forth again. So you can take the new parts out, put the old parts back in, and you're right back to original. Hmm. And you've got a solid body all around it. But he mentions that, you know, it's not something new. You can go back all the way to, cars that, you know, maybe they've upgraded like a generator or with a new alternator or something like that. Something that's, you know, something a little bit better. Brakes is another big one. Mm-hmm. He also mentioned that he's got, and this is kind of crazy, he has a 1914 Premier, which is a Brass Era car that was built in Indianapolis.
Wow. Yeah.
So this is a long time ago, right? It was upgraded in the 1940s before they had the term resto-modding, of course, right?
Somebody resto-modded it.
Yeah, exactly. And they installed a 12-cylinder ignition system from a Pierce Arrow.
So, no way.
You know, another classic, obviously, but they had done some type of resto modding, you know, from this car from the Brass Era, from a vehicle that was a donor car in the 1940s. So, again, he mentions, also, this is another one here, and this is one that, one of our listeners actually mentioned this, and a Doble steam car, and you mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
Now, you said that he's probably keeping everything original, right? He has two 1925 Doble steam cars. And we just got an email about this from a listener that said, why don't you talk about the Dobles? Jay says they weigh about 6,000 pounds each, but they only have rear brakes. And I'm sure that it's a drum brake system. He says that's insane. So he put brake drums on the front with Corvette disc brakes hidden inside them. So he took so they look like drum brakes.
Yeah,
in the
front.
Yeah,
so the drum brake casing.
Exactly. Covers Corvette disc brakes on this 1925 Doble.
Oh, that's just like a CD player in the glove box,
A steam car, yeah, exactly. So, you know, he says now the thing is I didn't feel comfortable about driving them before. Now I can take them out on the road and know that I can stop. Because, you know, these, again, 6,000 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a heavy vehicle with two brakes.
Yeah.
So
Jay Leno.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that comes all back to the question, like, would you resto-mod a car?
Yes, if it was my car, I would probably resto-mod it, just because, honestly, the fun factor, really, I know there's a good defense for safety, and there's a good defense for performance or comfort even, but for me, the idea of resto-modding a car is cool because it makes your car unique.
Mm-hmm.
You can do so much more with it, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I like tinkering with stuff, but I think it's worth it. Again, if I had a car that I thought was too old to resto mod or that should be in its original condition, then I probably would try to sell it to someone who would enjoy it more.
Really?
Because
you wouldn't enjoy driving an original.
I'd be afraid of breaking it.
Almost,
man.
A museum piece, right?
Yeah, come on. What am I? I'm not the Smithsonian. I shouldn't.
I'm probably in the exact same boat.
Okay, Scott Joseph writes into us on Facebook, and he says, I recently started listening to your podcast to and from work. I listened to the one about Ferrari and also the one about the history of the rotary engine. You mentioned in the Ferrari podcast that despite the higher number of production year after year, any Ferrari owner can be proud to know that owning a Ferrari is still a rarity. Wouldn't the same logic apply to rotary vehicle owners? Although not as expensive as a Ferrari, RX-7 and RX-8s are still pretty rare on the road. And thinking of it, there are quite a number of rare cars on the road regardless of the price tag. Acura Integra Type R, the recent Pontiac GTO. Just a thought, could you guys maybe do a podcast on these newer yet rare models? Thanks for the infotainment.
I like the idea. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's – the only question that I would have in this one is that it kind of depends on where you live.
You know what? I smell a series.
You know, I think that, you know, here in Atlanta, we see a lot of import cars.
We sure do.
We have a ton of BMWs and Infinities and Acuras and, you know, et cetera, and exotics.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you go up to where I'm familiar with, up in Detroit, actually, you're more apt to see an American-made vehicle. on the road and less, you know, much less import vehicle on the road, traffic on the road, rather, and very few exotics. I mean, they're around, don't get me wrong, but just not with the frequency that you see them down here. So, you know, it kind of depends on where you are and what you see and what you're familiar with. Now, if you go out into, you know, the middle of, I don't know, Utah.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some small town that has a population of 200 or whatever, what would be a rarity at that, you know, for someone who lives there?
So it might be relative.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's relative. But
I'll tell you what, Los Angeles, man, they have all sorts of rare cars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and look at Miami. Miami's a hotbed of activity for stuff like that. So let's say that, you know, that's a good idea. And I think maybe if we do it, it would be something that has to do with production numbers. You know,
That'd be cool.
Production. But like, what about the Pontiac, was it the Solstice? The hardtop.
The one that,
you know, was barely made. They only made a few of them. Something like that.
I never saw one of those in real life. Have you?
I've seen one time here, right in our very own parking
lot.
In our own parking lot.
Wow.
And that was it.
So, also, I do like that Joseph gave a pretty cool compliment to the rotary vehicle owners.
Yeah.
They said, hey guys. You know, you've got a rarity. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. Fist bump.
Fist bump. Well, thanks for writing in, Joseph, and thanks everybody for listening to Scott and I wax on about resto mods. I'm sold, man. I thought I was going to be a purist about it. I see the purist side of the argument, but I think for me, I would really like to have. You know, I mean, I'm that guy who thought the jet engine in the bug was a great idea.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
I think I'm mostly original with just hints of modifications here and there, like maybe better braking system.
You know,
original engine, if it's big enough, if it's powerful enough, and, you know, mods to make that faster or better, but not maybe an entirely new engine, maybe not an entirely new braking system, but, you know, an upgrade to disc brakes. Something like that.
Okay, so kind of a middle way.
Yeah, I'm kind of a middle ground person.
Okay. So I'm RestoMod, you're middle ground. We've got to check with our producer, Casey, to see where he's at on this, and we want to hear from you. Please write in to tell us what you think. RestoMods or pure restoration? Just give us a line on Facebook, drop us a note on Twitter, and of course, man, we love email, so tell us whatever is on your mind. Write to us at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.